message is brought to you by Kevin Rogers Ministries and City of Faith Christian Center. For more information, please visit kevinrogersministries.org or cityoffaithcc.org.
So, that's a solution for discouragement, folks. David showed us how to deal with discouragement. Because a lot of times, what we expect sometimes, man, I don't even know why I'm dealing with all this. I got so much other stuff I need to deal with, but I'm going to just deal with this part. Are y'all okay with that?
Yes.
Now, David showed us how to deal with discouragement, all right? Because what happened a lot of times, we give up. That's when that discouragement slip in, that is the point where people give up right there. That's the point where people want to commit suicide. That's the point where people say, I no longer want to be on this earth. That discouragement has slipped in. And it's got discouraging them to the point where they say, I can't bear pain no more. So David gave us a description of this thing, okay? Let's go to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Good. Don't play. Don't ever play like, well, he ain't talking to me. Well, I know I'm not. The Holy Spirit is.
Amen.
Okay? Don't do that. Because we all have to deal and battle with that discouragement spirit sometimes. Sometimes things, we have to battle with that sometimes. You know, people think about the end of life and all of this stuff because they're concerned, like, what's wrong with me? And you know, and that's why you have to tell people, hey, God is a healer. You do know that, right?
Amen.
You know, you had to give people the word and not your opinion. Because opinions mean nothing to me.
Amen.
Let's see, do it line up with the word.
Because
that's the only thing they're going to stand still and stand firm in the earth is the word.
Amen.
People words change, man word change, but God word remain right the same. If he promised it, he said he is faithful to bring it to pass. Okay, let's look at 1 Samuel 30 now. Let's look at this because in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. No, I'm going to start at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives. There were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that was there, that were with him, lifted up their voice and wept, and they had no more power to weep. Now, that's a strong cry there, okay? And David, two wives were taken captives, all right? Ahinoam and Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, and Carmelite. Now look at this. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake a stone in him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son, for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord with his God. Now I just want you to see something here, okay? David showed us, he's showing us how to deal with distress and discouragement. Now he came back. I want you to get this picture in your mind. He came back from winning a big battle. Right, him and the men, only to find that the city he was living in was burnt down. The houses was burnt down. I can imagine, you know, now just look at, I'm going to fast forward to this year, this version. It's my version, right? Coming home, they looking through the rubble of the fire. They see the family portraits burn. They see all of this stuff happening. Now you tell me that is not discouragement right there. That's not discouragement, all right? So, and not only that, they stole their possessions. It's like I said today, it coming in from a hard day work, discovered that somebody had stolen all your furniture in your house, kidnapped your family, and burnt your house down, basically. All the stuff you work for. Some of y'all getting mad right now, ain't it? I can see it in you. And I wish they would. I'll hunt them down. I don't know why I said that. You know, I'm thinking about this commercial I saw. You know, this woman's texting her boyfriend, and his phone broke, and she came there with a calf on, and he said, "Oh, honey, I got your message now. Where are you? I broke my arm. I'm gonna hunt you down." Like, ooh. So now just think about that, okay? I have no clue why that came up. So now think about this. So this thing, it was a lot of discouragement there. And there are times where when you are walking this walk with God and that discouragement is there, you may not have no one to encourage you. Everybody's phone number may be busy or nobody answering. You ever had that? Well, maybe I can call brother so-and-so. He ain't answering though. Maybe I can call sister so-and-so. They ain't answering. And nobody's answering your call. And you discouraged. You need a word. Well, David, they talking about killing this brother. Can you imagine his army turning against him? Now, this is what he did, though. In verse 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you have to really just learn to encourage yourself. Amen. And stop depending on others to do something that you already have on the inside of you to do. I say it again. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself and stop depending on someone else to do something that you already have in you to do. Glory to God. Sometimes you have to get along with God yourself. You got to get the word for yourself, glory to God. And you had to tell God, I need some encouragement here. You had to tell God that I don't have anyone here at the house. Nobody is in the church seem to be reaching out, or I can't get a hold of them. And you had to tell God, I need encouragement. So this is what happened. When you go to the Lord for encouragement in the word now, you're putting yourself in a position to be transformed. That's what happens. Because, see, what happened is this right here. The next step, if the enemy cannot discourage you, he will try to pressure you into doing it. Now, this is the point. I wonder how God gonna tie it in. Now, I got it now. I got it now. Glory to God. Okay. Now, this is the point where you got to start taking stock of your surrounding. All right? Because pressure is what the enemy will use to try and get you to do what he wants you to do. He'll use people to put a certain amount of pressure on you, because he needs to use somebody familiar sometimes, or someone that you can identify with sometimes, to put the pressure on you to give you an agreement or a check to go ahead and do it when you know you don't want to do it, but you feel pressure to do it because you know that person or this right here, and you end up doing it, which you know you shouldn't have did. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's look at this, okay? When you finding yourself moving up to the superior place that you're supposed to be in life, you really have to take inventory of the people you're with. Amen. Now, this is something that church people don't want to talk about because they want to hang with Junebug because they knew him since they were small. But I'm telling you that if you're going to go to that superior level that God already have put you in, but you are beginning to maximize this thing, to go up in an area in your life that you need to go up with, everybody ain't going to be on your boat. And you got to be okay with that. You know, it's the moments where you begin to feel awkward, like, hey, we used to have something in common, but for some reason, you know why? You don't have nothing in common no more? Because you are going up. And let's be for real, everybody don't go up together. Now, this is where church people get their emotions, either their emotion hurt or they try and get their emotions continue to attach itself to something or someone that is not cannot take them up but keep dragging them down. It's a reason why the space shuttle, when it get to another stratosphere, it had to drop those boosters. Because if it get to the other stratosphere and them boosters still connected, it would bring that space shuttle back into the atmosphere and crash it. Some people come to your life just to boost you to one point, and you got to drop them off and be okay with it.
Amen.
Because when you go to the next level, they're not there to go. Those boosters on a space shuttle is not designed to go outside the stratosphere. It's designed for this atmosphere. It boosts in the atmosphere. Why? So that space shuttle can go through that next stratosphere. And that's how some people are. They are friends up to a point. And you got to be okay with that. Glory to God. I don't hang with grasshoppers, and you shouldn't either.
Amen.
Grasshopper, they're only good for one thing. But let's look at some here, all right? I heard that. For what, Pastor? For what? Okay, Proverbs 22, all right? Let's look at this, okay? I want you to really look at this. Because I'm not telling you to be... You have to deal with people. I'm going to explain it to you in a minute, what I mean by this, because some of you are taking it wrong. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You see that? Now, an angry or furious person is someone who has allowed their offense or hurt to rule their soul. All right? They cannot be your friend. Most people think they can withstand an angry person. Or I can say it don't have to be an angry person. It can be a lying person. It can be a cheating person. It can be a bitter person. A messy person. A drama person. Oh boy. An unfaithful person. The enemy will use them to draw you away from God's influence into his own evil influence. Well, Pastor, I'm going to get them saved. You know the lie most Christians tell. I'm not saying you should go to people and just play that holier than thou. Well, you know, you go by, you don't even speak or you don't act right towards them. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the big part is guarding your soul. Soul consists of your mind, will, and your emotions. In other words, guarding what influences you. That's what you have to guard. Because a lot of times, the things that influences us is the things that trap us. You let the wrong person influence you, because you're influenced through observation, authority figures, and people that you have intimately come in contact with on a daily basis or a basis where you have opened yourself up to them. And if their influence or their thinking is wrong, glory to God, you're going to begin to be associated with that. Not only you'll be associated with that, you'll be connected to that. And he tell us evil communication. Evil communication corrupts good manners. In other words, do not associate yourself with that evil communication. Evil communications is when you begin to open yourself up to someone who influence is so strong but so wrong. Get what I'm saying? So strong but so wrong. And so what happened is it began to throw your thoughts, your thought life off track. It'll throw it off track. And so what he's saying here, he said, look, he said, when you allow hurt or someone in that to rule your soul, folks, it connects you to it. And not only that, you've been around a person for so long, they said, y'all start talking kind of like. I don't think you sat down in a class with them one-on-one. They said, okay, for this situation, this is how you talk. Okay, for that circumstance. Then you didn't sit in a class with them. What happened is because of the power of a binding soul, the power of an association, the law of association, because of the power of that, that environment is designed to change you before you change it. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners, he said. Be not deceived. He said, evil communication. The more something evil is communicated to you, the more the good will be corrupted in you if you accept it. You know, I'm thinking about the, you know, I growing up, I remember my cousin had a CB radio. And I'm thinking about that thing. You know, it's a CB radio. You know, you had to hold the talk and the other person can hear. And but even if the other person trying to hold and talk, you're trying to hold and talk at the same time, you ain't hearing nothing. It's a communication that goes, it's a one-way communication, I think, that's what they call it. It's not like a duplex, it's a one-way. So that person talk, they wait for the response. So it's kind of like I'm thinking that the longer that person talking and you just hear, You just hearing it. Eventually, that's going to get in you, and you're going to respond to something. So what the best way to do with a CB radio, turn it off. You don't want to hear all the chatter. Turn it off. You turn it off. And there are certain things in your life you need to learn to turn off. Okay, so I can connect it with this. Certain friends, certain people you call friends, which I believe they're not friends. They're just somebody you know. And what happened is their bad behavior, you'll learn it. You'll learn it just by being around it, you know, and it's a reason why you see, if you ever begin to read or study a certain thing, it's a reason why you see certain mindsets of people hanging around the same type of mindset. It's a reason why that. You'll never see a scientist hanging with a person who in accounting. Never. You'll never see that. You'll never see a musician hanging around, glory to God, a scientist or an accountant. You never see a musician do that. A scientist is drawn out by other scientists. A musician hangs with musicians. You never see them hang with that. Why? Because they are drawn what's in them. They only see, a scientist only see an accountant as a means to an end. I'm going to research project, so I need somebody to manage that money. The relationship stopped right there. They ain't going to talk shop. They ain't going to talk shop. The accountant ain't going to understand that about the research that the scientists are doing. They're too busy counting beans. So now you got to see who is adding to my life. Is this person adding to it? You know, it's strange because we're in a generation where someone tells somebody the truth, they get mad and call that person their enemy. That's the generation we're in. No one want to hear the truth. Everybody want to hear a lie to soothe their emotions. As soon as somebody get in their face and say, no, you wrong, brother. No, you ain't telling me. Nah, man, I'm a grown man. You ain't telling me. But you're acting like a toddler. We're living in a generation where no one wants to hear the truth because no one wants to be sharpened. And that's why the generation, everybody, a lot of people just dull. They have no spiritual discernment about nothing. Lord have mercy. Let me just get back to the word here. Let's look at something here, okay? Let's go to Matthew real quick. Okay? I want miracles, but your mind can't see it. We go to Matthew 15. Okay, let's go to Matthew 15. Yeah, you had to encourage yourself. You had to take stock of who's adding to your life and who's not. Because who's not adding to your life eventually, you need to just eventually slow it down, cut it off. Amen. If you just attach emotionally to it. But Pastor, that's so hard. I don't care. I'm telling you, the only way it's going to work, folks, you're going to have to cut that. Let me tell you something. If a person has gangrene in their arm, in their hand, glory to God, I tell you, the doctors say you better cut it off now for it to affect the rest of your limb so I won't have to chop the whole arm. Let the hand go. I said again, cut the hand off. To save the arm, cut the hand off. Glory to God. Amen. I was farming. I was farming, boy. I'm thinking about crops for some reason. I had grew some tomatoes and everything. And I'm telling you, I go out and I make sure I check, because if I seen a Johnson grass or kind of weed come up, I want to cut that thing off, because I don't want that to affect my crop. And I'm telling you, and you can't have no kind of attachment to something that's trying to choke the life out of you. Some of you are trying to attach yourself to stuff and it ain't doing nothing for you. Glory to God. It ain't doing nothing for you. It taking life from you. Glory to God. I said again, it taking life from you. It have nothing. It's not even adding life to you. It taking it from you. And I'm telling you, as long as you connected to it, it's going to continue to take life until, I'm telling you, better cut it off. Look at this. Look at this. Matthew 15. Look at verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curse father or mother, let him die to death. Lord, that's deep. Whew. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. But I want you to see this right here. I want you to look at verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. That's the part I want you to look at right there. Your tradition. Tradition is what kills people. They doing things because they have seen everybody else do it. They are doing things because, it adds no value. Tradition, it make the word of God ineffective is what it said. I'm just doing it because somebody else doing it. I'm just saying it because someone else said it. I have no intimate knowledge of it myself. I'm going to remain. And what happened is tradition keep a person needy.
Yes, it does.
It keep them needy.
Yes.
You go into some you go in traditional churches sometimes. It's just tradition. It keep people needy. They need to talk to the pastor. They need this. And ain't nothing wrong with that, because the pastor should be available. But what I'm saying, you should come to a point where you say, you know what? He don't gave me enough word. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, if the man got it, you know, you need to talk to the man or the woman, you talk to him, that's fine. But what I'm saying is this right here. Tradition, if you go in traditional places, people are taught, like, the pastor is the only one with the answer sometimes.
Yeah.
After he had gave you the answer,
yeah,
you use the answer, yeah, that he gave you.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I ain't said misuse the answer. I said use the answer.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Use the answer the right way. Now watch this. The tradition of men, folks, it made the word of God of no effect. So what happened is, even in our personal life, because of tradition, that you label a person a friend. This is the part I want to get to. You label this person a friend out of tradition. And people do it all the time. And that person hurts you. That person do this to you. And you don't talk to them. And all of a sudden, you're friends again. You do this and you do that. They're not adding value to you. They are taking things from you. And the more they take from you, the weaker you get. The more they try to influence you the wrong way, the weaker you get, folks. And I'm telling you, it's the enemy. And so what you have to do, you have to start cutting things off that is not adding value to you in your life. If you're not adding value to it, and it is not adding value to you, it's time to bury that thing. It's time to have a funeral for that thing.
Amen.
I'm telling you, some relationships should be buried.
Amen.
Some relationships should be buried. You should wear all black. You should say, okay, I'm going to have a memorial service for this relationship. Yep, you may cry for about 30 minutes. Now, praise the Lord. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. This the last time I'm going to cry over it. You bury that thing and you keep moving forward. And folks, I'm telling you, the reason why people cannot move forward, because they trying to keep something that is dead alive. The arm got gangrene. It's going up the arm with gangrene, but you ain't cutting the arm off. I'm telling you, it's going all the way up now. You ain't cutting it off, because I don't want to offend this right here. You better cut it off to save the body. Glory to God. So sometimes the people in the body of Christ are so emotionally attached to stuff that don't even matter. Glory to God. It don't even matter. You're concerned that somebody's going to like you. Oh, it's quiet. You're so concerned that somebody's going to like you. Can I tell you something? they don't like you now. That's why they, that's why they don't, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, folks, it's our thinking that need to change. He said in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, folks. Put an amplified version. Let me show you this thing. Glory to God. Do not be conformed with this world, this age, fashioned and adapted to its external, outwardly, folks, superficial customs. Now, you know certain things influences you the wrong way. Why did you still try and marry that relationship? I ain't talking about people, I'm talking about marry a relationship. Why are you trying to get so involved with something that is so unhealthy? Lord, why I'm talking about this part? Why? Now, this is what I'm saying. Why you try, you know, some people ain't there for you to do you no good, it doing you harm, but why do you, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. It's hard for me to have friends. It's hard for this. No, it's not. What you need to do is cut that gangrene off. You cut that off, and I guarantee you, you watch and see things begin to prosper the right way for you, because it is impossible to put some health into something dead. It's impossible. We've been friends for a long time. So what? Just like Jonah? Yeah. Who caused this storm to come? Jonah? What they said? Let's throw him off the boat. Some people do not deserve to be on your boat now. It's time to throw them off. Well, Pastor, that's so hateful. I'm not telling you not to love nobody. What I'm saying, you're going to have to learn to guard your heart. Glory to God. Now, I know that sounds tough and I know it sounds rough, but you know what? If you're going to move forward in the things of God, you're going to have to cut off what you need to cut off that's going to cause you to go to the next level in life. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And you can't be afraid, because the Bible said the righteous is bold as a lion. And you can't be afraid to tell the truth and live in it. You can't be afraid of that. Now, look at this. He said in Matthew 15, Jesus saying this, verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. So now that tells me something. There are some things that have taken root in your life that God needs to root up, that the Father didn't plant. There are certain things the enemy will try and plant in your life so you can see life different, not as it is, but as you are. And so now, Jesus, he said, if the Father didn't plant it, it's going to get rooted up. In other words, anybody ever had a problem where they was afraid to face it? Oh, I'm going to have altar call because I got a bunch of liars in here. Did everybody ever had a problem where they was afraid to face?
Thank you for listening. Feel free to copy and distribute this message to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way. For more resources, go to kevinrogersministries.org.